Golf Today.
Welcome to Golf Today on a Tuesday. Damon Hack alongside Eamon Lynch, Golf Week Magazine. A couple of new captains for the President's Cup, Branch Snedeker and Jeff Ogilvy. Two great talkers in our line of work, holding a microphone or a notebook. This is a good day.
And it continues what we saw with the Ryder Cup appointment of Keegan Bradley as well. It's a generational change. You know, there were a lot of guys, the Davis Loves, the Jim Furyks, who give years of loyal service, but it's time for the gold watches and the pats on the back and move it on to a new generation of guys. And it's not an enviable job for either one of them. Jeff Ogilvy's got a long history of the international team losing in this event that he has to try to overturn and justify the continued existence of the President's Cup. And Brant Snedeker is not the guy who wants to be the first losing American captain in 27 or 28 years by the time the match rolls around.
Speaking of years, also means we're getting old. We covered these guys when they were kids winning golf tournaments, and look at them now. Let's go back to 1 year ago. We're talking President's Cup on this Tuesday. This was the United States getting the job done at Royal Montreal, defeating the international team 18.5 to 11.5 under the captaincy of Jim Furyk. The victory marked the 10th straight win, as Eamon mentioned, in the biennial competition for the United States. Now, news today, Branch Snedeker and Jeff Ogilvy have been named captains for the U.S. international teams, respectively, for the 2026 event. Snedeker represented the U.S. team in 2013 at Muirfield Village in Dublin, Ohio, compiling a 2-3-0 record. Ogilvy played on three straight international teams, 07, 09, and 11, where he amassed a 7-6-1 record. The 16th President's Cup will be contested at Medina, course number 3, September the 22nd through the 27th of next year. Take a close look at Brant's resume. Captain's assistant last year in the President's Cup, slated to serve as a vice captain for the 2025 Ryder Cup, owns 9 career PGA Tour wins, including the 2012 Tour Championship that year. He also won the FedEx Cup. Former Vandy University standout, one of 14 players in PGA Tour history to cart a sub-60 round, doing so at the 2018 Wyndham, where a first-round 59 helped him collect his 9th title. And Brant joins us now. Congratulations on the appointment as captain. But I'm curious what the decision-making process was like for you, Brant, because you're still a player. Was it an automatic yes? Was it let me sleep on it for a few days?
It was an automatic yes. You know, this is something that I've always dreamed about doing. Being part of these teams is such a special honor, such a special week. And when they came to me with this idea, I jumped at the opportunity. You know, this is to host a President's Cup on U.S. soil, to have it be at Medina, where I've got some history, is something that I relish the opportunity to get our guys ready to play there next year, and looking forward to kind of learning a lot from Keegan this year at the Ryder Cup and getting to know the guys a little bit better and being ready to go for Chicago in 2026.
A job like this, Brant, comes with a lot of second guessing, certainly within the golf world, certainly within the golf media as well. You've played under different captains, you know, Davis Love a couple of times. You played the President's Cup for Freddie Couples. Have you learned something from how those guys handled the broader picture of this job that you're going to learn from for this particular run yourself?
Yeah, I think I learned a lot from everybody I've been fortunate to be under. Learned a lot from Jim last year in Montreal about the process being my first vice captaincy and understanding how different this is. You know, it's way different than playing. It's obviously a lot more time commitment, but also a lot more scrutiny goes with this. And so I kind of understand what I'm going in this with eyes wide open, realizing that every decision I make is going to be an important one, and I'm going to make sure I take my time to figure out the best path possible for this team and how it's going to look. And so I relish this. I think it's going to be a great opportunity for our guys to come play a completely redesigned Medina, which Jeff Ogilvy just got done doing last year, and it looks phenomenal. So I look forward for our guys to be able to see it and understanding that this is going to be a tough test. You know, all these team competitions come down to a few putts here or there, and just want my guys to have a lot of fun, take as much off their plate as possible, and understand that I'm trying to do everything in the world for them and know I got their backs no matter what.
Well, you mentioned your history at Medina. You played there in 2012 for the United States Ryder Cup team, but you also mentioned Jeff's history there and his design firm doing the redesign there. So how can you bend Medina number 3 to your will and to the will and strengths of your team?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. You know, I haven't played it yet. You know, I think I'm going to spend some time up here this fall getting to see the golf course and the time of year we're going to be seeing it next year and understand the challenges this golf course faces, understanding that every team's going to be different. You know, the team we take to that we took to Montreal last year is going to be different than the team we bring to Chicago. And understanding the strengths of your team is one of your jobs as a captain, and trying to make sure the golf course setup reflects that. You know, I think the biggest thing that we have in our going in our way to Medina is the crowds. You know, Chicago is a great sports town. They love their sports up here. They love their golf. And Medina is a big ballpark, so we can host a lot of people here. And so I look forward to seeing a lot of red, white, and blue out there cheering on our guys, and our guys kind of getting the crowd going, which would be a lot of fun.
You'll be 45 years old when the match starts, Brandt. The last time the U.S. lost, you had not yet turned 18 years old. Is there more pressure when you have, as captain, such a lengthy winning streak to actually protect? Because nobody wants to be the guy who loses a President's Cup team for the United States.
I mean, I think there's pressure at every one of these. You never want to lose any of them. You know, I don't care who's the captain or who's playing. Nobody ever sets out with the goal of not trying to lose. You know, I think our goal should be the same thing as every cup we're a part of is to go out there and put the best 12 players in the best position possible to go have as much fun as possible and play as great as they possibly can. And our job as captains will be to take as much off their plate as we can, to understand that the full breadth of what we got going into Medina is going to be a lot of pressure on us for sure. But you got to welcome that. You got to hit it head on, and we've got to move past that and kind of get ready to play. So, you know, pressure's part of these things. It's always going to be part of these things. And so it just comes with the nature of the job. And I look forward to that. You have to meet these challenges head on, and you can't run away from them. And that's what we plan to do.
Well, Brandt, we're seeing a lot of the same names as captains and vice captains across the President's Cup and the Ryder Cup. Post-U.S. Ryder Cup Task Force, how would you describe the continuity between the United States President's Cup teams and Ryder Cup teams?
Yeah, I think it's a step in the right direction. I think what we're doing here is really smart about trying to get guys with experience and get them in the same room so they understand what is going to be asked of them with these captaincies. You know, I think Jim did a great job last year in Montreal of kind of setting this thing up to where hopefully now we can have some continuity and some consistency going forward, you know, and my job is to kind of keep that ball rolling. You know, I learned a lot from Jim. I've learned a lot from Keegan this year with the Ryder Cup coming up and being a part of that process. And we kind of want to make sure that this is set up for the next generation of guys, so when they step into these roles, they're ready to go, and that we can kind of have this continuity moving forward, because it's super important. You know, I don't care what anybody says, you want to have these guys with experience under their belts making these decisions so they understand what they're getting into.
Who are you going to rely on for advice in this process, Brandt, both in terms of your vice captains and in other players or people in your life who have had leadership experience?
Yeah, I'm going to reach out to a bunch of different people. You know, obviously, every past captain is on my Rolodex right now. I've been talking to a bunch of them to understand exactly what I need to be on the lookout for and exactly how I need to go about this process. Jim's been a great person to lean on. Davis Love's been another great person I've leaned on a ton. And then going forward, I'm going to reach out to a bunch of different coaches and people on how to build a team, how to get guys to buy into that mindset and understand that every team's going to be different. Every team's going to have a little different makeup to it, and how can I get the best out of these guys so that they're comfortable and they can go out there and produce the way I know that they can. So I firmly believe in trying to no stone left unturned and trying to talk to as many people as I possibly can about how to best go about this process. And then once I kind of make up my mind, we're going to move forward with that. But, you know, to sit here and say I have all the answers right now would be a complete, utter false statement. You know, I need to learn as much as possible this next 6 months leading up to the Ryder Cup from all the guys in the team room, from Keegan, from all the vice captains and from past captains, and kind of take a step off their shoulders and move forward.
We saw Keegan Bradley holding up the football in Montreal and saying, you know, all roads lead to Bethpage Black. Are you rah-rah? Are you more data analytics? Are you X's and O? How would you describe your style? Always a great quote, but how would you describe your own personal leadership style?
You know, I think I'm a little blend of all of those. You know, I definitely want to have some strong messaging for the guys that we can rely on what our goals are going to be. But, you know, as I've learned, no pregame speech is ever going to win you a game. At the end of the day, you know, you just got to make sure you're prepared. So I think I want to go out there with as much preparation as possible to know that this is the plan we set forward. We're already doing that with Bethpage right now. So I'm kind of getting my first look at how this process goes about. And then once we get there to Chicago in 2026, there'll be a few speeches here and there. But my main job is to let those guys let those guys know that I care about them. I want them to have as much fun as possible. I will do anything in the world to make their life easier, to give them every opportunity to be as successful as possible. And that I care about everybody. So I want those guys to have as much fun as possible and enjoy the process and let them know that I'm there for them whenever they need, whatever they feel comfortable calling me for anything, that's what I want them to know more than anything else, that I care about these guys and this team more than anything, and that I'm there for them. So I think that's how you build a great team. I think you build it by example, by going out there and working hard, showing you care about them, and by giving the guys every opportunity to be as successful as possible.
Do you feel as though in the short term you're likely to be impacted by any of the uncertainty around the future landscape of the game and whether or not there's a deal that might make some LIV players eligible for your team in a year and a half from now, Brant? Or is that just not something that's really on your radar?
Yeah, it's not really on my radar. You know, I'll cross that bridge when we come to it. You know, I think right now, to be honest with you, we're neck deep in Ryder Cup preparation. This is something else to add onto my plate. And so I think between these two things, I have plenty to worry about, not so much about what it's going to look like next year. I think we're kind of neck deep in Ryder Cup stuff right now, trying to get these guys, this team taking shape and looking forward to watching these great players continue to play great the rest of the year and get ready for Bethpage.
Brant, how dangerous has the international team become? I was greenside Friday night watching Siwoo Kim make that 15 footer as the sun was going down and things got a little bit tight. But how much does that team have your respect and attention heading into 2026?
Yeah, I said it last night. I've been saying it to anybody who will listen to me. You know, the matches in Montreal were way closer than people think they were. There was a time Saturday afternoon on the radios between the captains that we were worried, like things were not going the way we had planned out. Things were not going the way we thought they would. And they were charging. They were playing great. And so we know how close these cups always come down to a few putts here or there. And so this team's going to be ready to go. You know, Jeff is a great captain. He's a great friend of mine. He's going to have his guys ready to go next fall. And so I feel like our guys have got to bring it no matter what. This is not going to be the same old President's Cup where we just show up and think we can win. It's not going to happen that way. You know, Jeff redesigned the golf course. The membership here loves Jeff. I actually felt like it was an away game for me when I got here last night and got to walk the golf course because they all loved what he did to the golf course. And I was kind of the foreign guy in the room, it seemed like. So I'm going to lean on the guys to go out there and continue to do what we've always done these President's Cups and show them that this is going to be a close one. It always is. And we know that, and get the guys prepared and have fun, and this golf course is going to show out. Jeff did a fantastic job. The golf course is going to have some great views. There's going to be a lot happening in a three or four hole stretch there on the new 16, 17, 18. So it'll be a fun watch and a loud atmosphere, and we need to lean into that and have some fun with our guys.
We've spent a lot of time over the last year asking Keegan, is he going to be a playing captain on his own team? We might as well start the same narrative with you, Brant. How's your game and your health these days?
My game's probably not good enough to be a playing captain. I want it to be, but that's a ways off. My game feels better. I played a little bit better this year. I've had some injury stuff creep up here recently with some back stuff, but nothing major. Just kind of this age in life when you play golf as long as we have, things seem to creep up on you. But I'm having more fun ever playing right now. My son's gotten into it. He's 12 years old. I love being out here on the tour with the guys and getting to spend time with them and play with them and see how great these young players are on tour. So I plan on playing a ton more the next couple of years and seeing these guys kind of keep pushing myself to see what I can do with these guys out there. But I'm having as much fun as I've ever had playing right now. It's just a matter of kind of, can my body hold up? Can I put the time in that I need to be able to put in to know that I can compete, you know, on Thursday through Sunday. And so it's just more about the preparation, making sure my body's ready to go. And then, but I played a lot better this year. I'm excited about the rest of the season for me. And this gives me even more incentive to be out there playing great golf so I can see the best players in the world and understand what the team's going to look like.
I can attest to that. Saw you hit some great shots at Palm Beach Gardens. Congratulations on the captaincy, Brant. Always great spending some time with you. We'll speak to you down the road.
Absolutely. Thanks for everything, guys, and go USA.
Well, Brant Snedeker's opposite numbers coming up right after this break. Jeff Ogilvie, a veteran of three international teams, now has his chance to snap the losing streak. He'll join us next. Welcome back to Golf Today. The President's Cup announced that Brant Snedeker and Jeff Ogilvie have been named captains for the US and international teams respectively for the 2026 event.
the 16th President's Cup will be contested at Medina Country Club's number 3 course, and that is in September of next year. And it's the latest in a run of historical events here at Medina. It's always been good to US President's Cup captain Hale Irwin. Won the 1990 US Open at the age of 45, 4 years before he was the first playing captain in the President's Cup. Tiger Woods won the PGA Championship, that duel with Sergio Garcia, 20 years before he was a President's Cup captain. And of course, some good team mojo as well. The US at the 2012 Ryder Cup. Well, it was good mojo for 2.5 days,
eh? Yes, it was, until the miracle of Medina, that European team. Then in 2020, the club hired the Australian design firm OCM, Jeff Ogilvie, Mike Cocking, and Ashley Mead to redesign the famed layout. Larger greens, bigger scale bunkering, and wider fairways combined with more open vistas and broad areas of long fescue. The course reopened in July of 2024 following that long renovation. Now, Ogilvie played on 3 straight international teams. He amassed a 7-6-1 record. He served as the captain's assistant in the last 4 iterations of the event. The Australian owns 8 career PGA Tour wins, including, most famously, the 06 U.S. Open at Wingfoot West, in addition to winning 2 of Australia's biggest titles, the 08 Australian PGA and the 2010 Australian Open. And Jeff joins us now. Congratulations, you were an assistant captain for 4 consecutive President's Cups. How much did this feel like the next step for you in your relationship with the international team?
Yeah, for sure. It felt pretty natural. I mean, it's been a big part of my golf career, playing in 3 and then assisting at 4. It's my favorite week. Those 7 weeks that I've been involved with the President's Cup are probably my 7 favorite weeks in golf. They're just such special weeks. I mean, you hear it from everyone who plays in these teams, the connections you make with the players, and that sort of the level of pressure and emotion and sort of how rewarding these events can be. I was very excited to hear that I was going to be captain and sort of get to lead the team one time. It's an incredible honor and humbling when you look at the list of captains that the international team has had. My name looks like the odd one out there, but I'll see if I can do it proud.
At the risk of aging you, Jeff, you turned professional in May of 1998. That was a few months before the international team last won the President's Cup. That's a lot of history to have to turn around. Did that make you hesitate at all to accept this role?
No, not at all. I mean, as I just spoke about, the passion for this event is pretty strong. And it's been growing inside the international team for a long time. It's a very sort of connected family of players and caddies and wives. And the whole international team is sort of very motivated to sort of turn that result ledger around a little bit. I mean, if you look at the history of the Ryder Cup, it was a similar sort of story. And it took sort of Seve coming along to really sort of create the belief on the European side. And I think we don't have a Seve Ballesteros, but I think that belief is coming and the passion is coming. And Ernie Els introducing the shield here on my shirt here is created sort of this one sort of symbol that we can all play under. And we've got some young kids now who come up to us and like that they aspire to play for the international team one day now. And that, I don't think that was true before. So it's getting better and better and stronger. And we'll solve the riddle one day. Hopefully it's in Chicago and next year in 26. But it's just a fantastic event. And I think anytime anyone who's ever been inside the ropes or inside the locker room or been involved in any of these events, they'll all tell you the same thing. They're just incredible experiences. And I'm just excited to be involved again.
Jeff, you've talked about this being your favorite event, the 7 weeks that you've participated. I did the trophy ceremony. I was hosting the United States team at Royal Montreal. I looked off to the side into the eyes of Mike Weir, and he just looked absolutely devastated with the defeat. How tough have these losses been? Every 2 years, excitement, hope, and the result has been the same.
It's pretty brutal. You ride highs and lows. I mean, professional golf as a sport is a bit of an emotional roller coaster, ups and downs and good times and bad times, but they're certainly sort of highlighted and just magnified in a week like these team events, because you feel like you're letting your teammates down. There's a lot of pressure. You feel you're letting your nations down. The whole world is watching. They're difficult, they're times, but that's what makes these events so great, is that you're playing for more than just yourself. And there's such a magnitude to that that really doesn't strike you until you get out between the ropes and you just sort of feel what that feels like. So I haven't felt what it feels like to win this tournament like you referenced. It's 1998. I watched that. That was just after I turned professional at Royal Melbourne, near where I grew up. And I watched those boys win that tournament, and that looked like a lot of fun. And that probably sort of ignited the fire for me with the President's Cup, seeing us win that so well. And that was a team of legends with Norman and Price and VJ Singh and Ernie Els, and Peter Thompson was the captain. And so that was a really good start to my sort of President's Cup career, watching that from outside the ropes as a kid. So, yeah, we'll crack the riddle one day. And it's really brutal when you lose these team tournaments, but I can only imagine the opposite feeling of elation when you win would be really satisfying and rewarding.
You played for Greg Norman and for Gary Player as captains. Jeff, is there anything that you learned from them in those experiences that you're going to take with you to Chicago?
You know, I think I've picked up something from all of them, including the captains I've been an assistant under. I mean, as I said, it's kind of the who's who of international golfers. I mean, Gary Player always makes you feel like you're not positive enough and you don't go to the gym enough. You know, he's got just the best attitude I've ever been around. And he was a treat to spend a week with. And we learned a lot with Gary Player just about how to approach life. You know, Greg brought his own sort of confidence, if you like, to the tournament, and level of attention to detail Greg showed was amazing. And then along through Nick Price, Ernie Els is an amazingly sort of magnetic leader. You know, like when Ernie talks, everybody listens, you know, and he was a really powerful leader. And Trevor's enthusiasm was just incredible, what he brought to the event, and his attention to detail and enthusiasm was nuts. And then Mike Weir in Canada, he sort of showed us Canada and brought Canada along, and he put his own sort of, he's again another attention to detail guy and no stone unturned. So I think there's something to pick up from all of the captains I've been under. Put my own flavor on it, I guess. We're learning along the way. It's a bit more, we've got a bit more continuity, I think, in the international group now, and trying to sort of take what we did well last time and learn. And it's not just my decisions. There's a whole group of us around now who have been involved in a lot of these President's Cups through playing and captaincy. So we're going to try to put all the pieces together and put them back a little bit better again, like we did in Montreal, and see if we can get over the line.
Well, speaking of bringing your flavor to it, Medina hired you and your design firm, OCM, to bring Medina number 3 back to its championship glory in roots. How much of an inside track do you feel you have on the golf course as a designer that you can possibly bring to the captaincy?
Well, I think as we sit here today, obviously I would have some inside information. I know the course, obviously, intimately now. We spent a lot of time out there while we were building it. But I think, look, if professional golfers are anything, the greatest asset that touring pros have is learning a golf course quickly. And the caddies are all great, the players are great. So I think we might have an advantage on Monday, but by the time the first shot gets hit on Thursday, I think it'll be a pretty level playing field.
It's not an exaggeration, Jeff, to say that Trevor Immelman's team was somewhat compromised by all of the defections to LIV over the couple of years before that President's Cup. Do you think your team would be helped if there is some kind of detente between the PGA Tour and LIV that would render some of those players eligible before you get to Chicago?
Well, I think naturally, yeah, we would. I think both teams would improve in that situation. But they're, obviously the golf world would love a bit more sort of to the golf world to come together and the best players to be playing together more often. So their decisions that are way above my pay grade. Obviously, I think the ship is moving in that direction, but it's a slow moving ship because this is a complicated issue. So I will be picking from the list of players that are available to me. And if we had the opportunity to pick from some of those players, absolutely, I think some of them would make the team and it'd be great.
In your design work, Jeff, you have people that work under you, that you're in charge of. Are there some skills that are transferable to the captaincy in terms of being a leader of men, as you will be next year?
I think so. I mean, look, I wouldn't. This is new territory, I think. Leading a company or partnering in a company is a different story, I think, to leading a group of individual athletes. We're going to learn along the way if I know what I'm doing or not. But it's I think communication is the most important skill when you're dealing with a group of people. Keeping everybody feeling like they have their voice, but getting them on the same, everyone sort of flying in formation, if you like, and getting everyone to believe in a common goal. So we'll see how we go. It's individual golfers, as you guys know, you talk to golfers all the time when you're around professional golfers. We all have our own opinions and our own thoughts about how things should go. But my job is to create the common goal for everyone and to realize that, look, we're here to be great teammates, to put in, to win for all your teammates and ultimately try to win the President's Cup.
What are you going to look for in your vice captains, Jeff?
Not really sure. I mean, look, as I've been involved in so many, everybody brings something different, you know. And I think a multitude of skills is important. Some guys are really great relationship guys. Other guys are great sort of analytical guys with data and stats. And some guys really have a great feeling for sort of the emotions and who's going to naturally pair with who and who should match up against who. So I have a multitude of skills. I mean, I think the general, you wouldn't have to think too hard to sort of look at the sort of the way the international team's been made up as far as a captaincy thing, the last three or four President's Cups, to sort of understand the sort of the leadership group, if you like. It's not an official thing, but there's a lot of wisdom, sort of golf wisdom around that's been involved in this team, and I'll be taking advice from all of them, and we'll try to put together a team that that ticks all the boxes we can.
Jeff, I want to leave you with this. Friday night, Royal Montreal, Siwoo Kim makes a 15-foot putt as the sun is going down. The golf course goes crazy. Brad Snedeker told us into Saturday the U.S. walkie-talkies were concerned and a little bit worried about the inroads the international team was making. Though you guys lost, are those types of moments things you can carry into 2026?
Absolutely. I think Montreal, I mean, Thursday was very disappointing, not winning a match, 0-5. But then Friday, as disappointing as Thursday was, Friday was just as exciting. Probably one of the most enjoyable days I've ever had on a golf course. And I think if you asked anyone involved who was inside the ropes involved in our team, they would all tell you the same thing. It was an incredible atmosphere. The team room after that day was really special. Saturday, unfortunately, didn't have the same flavour, but that's the nature of these weeks. I mean, they ebb and flow. Momentum is a really big part in sport, especially in these team sports. So, that was a special day. We learn a lot, I think, in Montreal from, as I said, a rough Thursday and a really amazing Friday, and then how we sort of approach Saturday and then Sunday. So we try to learn all the lessons we can and try to capture those feelings again, because whatever we did on Friday last year was pretty special.
Well, we're certainly looking forward to tracking every move you make between now and September of 2026. Jeff, congratulations on the gig and thanks for joining us.
Thanks, guys.
We've heard from Captain Snedeker and Ogilvy. After the break, our panel reacts to today's President's Cup Captain's News. This is Golf Today. Let's get it on. We're back on Golf Today. 1994 President's Cup was the first in the event's history. Look where fashion was back then. A lot of smiles, though, for the United States. RTJ Golf Club in Prince William County welcomed the 38th President of the United States, Gerald R. Ford, as honorary chairman. World Golf Hall of Fame members Hale Irwin and David Graham as team captains. The U.S. was the first to etch its name onto the cup after winning the inaugural event 20-12, and you look at the all-time match results, a lot of red, white, and blue smiles. You see the match results, the overall and singles, fours, a little closer in four ball, but the U.S. has won 13 of 15 President's Cup events. Wow. It is time now for a roundtable reaction from today's President's Cup captain's announcements. We welcome in Golf Channel senior writer Rex Hoggard and GolfDigest.com contributor Shane Ryan. Shane, I want to start with you. No real curveball, no outside the box like a Keegan Bradley or Tom Watson as Clint Eastwood. Your thoughts on Brant Snedeker and Jeff Ogilvy?
Yeah, pretty predictable, I think, and in a good way. I think for the U.S., you know, they sort of got to a point where we always heard about how important the pipeline was and succession, and then the same guys did it over and over after 2014 until they realized, oh, no, we haven't you know, we haven't groomed anybody for the next generation here. So that was the Keegan Bradley thing. That was kind of out of left field. But now it seems like they've got Snedeker, Kisner, maybe Stuart Sink in there, a few guys like that. So they're kind of back on a path where there is some experience. And I thought it was funny, you know, Snedeker talking about how important it is to have experience and how important it is to, you know, have been there before. And, you know, here we have a captain who's never even been a vice captain coming up in Bethpage. But, yeah, and then Ogilvie, of course, you know, I think he's been involved in seven of these things. He's been a assistant captain four times. The only surprise there is, you know, they didn't kind of hold him for Australia, but maybe there's other plans going on there. So by the book, you know, President's Cup, they're kind of sensible. It's a very sensible President's Cup we've got.
Rex, there are 10 players in the top 50 in the world rankings eligible for Ogilvie's team, 26 in the top 50 eligible for Snedeker's team. And I know it's played on grass, not on paper, but that's a pretty big firepower difference. Is there an argument for changing the format so that there are fewer matches within the President's Cup? It used to be 32, then it was 34 points, now it's 30. The Ryder Cup's only 28 points. If they do change the format, make it more like a Ryder Cup, does that give a Jeff Ogilvie a chance, because he doesn't have such a deep bench, to maybe make it a little bit more competitive?
Yes, it seems obvious. Keep cutting matches. I mean, 28 seems to be the magic number at the Ryder Cup. Every 2 years, we talk about how that is just the perfect number. And every year, it seems to deliver some sort of exciting finish, some sort of close finish. So it just makes sense to me that why wouldn't you use the same number? However, the PGA Tour is clearly reluctant to change. And for whatever that reason is, apparently imitation is not the best form of flattery in this particular case. Because I'll go all the way back to Ernie Els and Nick Price. And this has been a couple of years since they've been captains of the international team. They were pushing hard for exactly that, because they know that gives them the opportunity to put their best team forward. And there's going to be some players that probably don't like the idea that they need to be sat on the bench for a couple of those team matches. But if you look at the results, you're going to have to make some sort of change eventually. No one wants to continue to see lopsided finishes, and that's probably the best way to do it.
What do you think, Shane? Is there a point of no return? 10 wins in a row? Is it 12? Is it 14? Is it 20? I mean, how long can this trend continue?
Well, I think I'll put it this way. I think the Ryder Cup is lucky that the President's Cup still has a lot of matches and that the Americans have won so many in a row, so that superficially they can say, oh, we're still the better competition, because the reality on the ground is the President's Cup is more fun. It's closer over the last decade, and it's more intriguing and has more crazy things happen than a Ryder Cup has. So I agree with you. I think they should reduce the matches. I think there's things they can do to make it better. It would surely be great if the international team could actually win one. But I think right now, you know, the Ryder Cup is on the back foot. All that happens is the home team wins in a blowout every single year. So, you know, I think the PGA Tour has an amazing opportunity here to, you know, forever go above and beyond the Ryder Cup if they just make a few tweaks. And I think they really should.
There's an opinion you don't hear voiced too often these days. Rex, does Jeff Ogilvie need a deal that involves LIV players being brought back into the fold to really make this competitive?
I thought it was interesting, the interview you guys just did with him, where he referenced the idea that it would probably benefit both teams, and certainly it would benefit golf if you brought some of the best players back, regardless of what team they're on. However, I think clearly the international side would benefit the most. As soon as I heard that, I kind of started scrolling through LIV Golf's single season point standing for individuals. Joaquin Niemann is right at the very top. I made the argument on Sunday's podcast with Ryan Ladner that most of the players who went to LIV Golf, if you're in the top five, maybe 10, you're probably still a top five or 10 player. I would argue that Joaquin Niemann actually became a top five player. It seems to me he's blossomed. He's grown into a better player, and he would certainly be an asset to that team. These captains in this era are being put in a very difficult position, and certainly we saw both captains sort of dance around the idea of what they would do when it came to LIV players. But yeah, the international side could definitely use some of those players.
How about for you, Shane? How big of an omission, a loss, would the United States be without a Bryson DeChambeau over 4 days in the fall in Chicago in that format with those crowds?
Yeah, you know, I have to disagree with Rex here. I mean, the international team, these are high-pressure situations, these team competitions. And you look at Niemann, he is thriving on LIV Golf with very little real competition. I'm looking at his Wikipedia page here, and I'm searching for those yellow numbers that indicate a major top 10. And unless I'm missing something, I don't see a single one. Meanwhile, the U.S. is leaving off Bryson DeChambeau, who plays great in majors, Brooks Koepka, who's won majors. There are only, you know, there's only one nationality of guys who have won majors while playing for LIV Golf, and that's Americans. So I think, you know, again, the international team maybe should be careful what they wish for here. I think without live players, maybe they've got some solidarity. Yeah, sure, it would be great to have Cam Smith. It would be great to have Niemann. But I don't know. I don't know that it would make a huge difference. And you might get some American guys in the mix who you don't necessarily want to see.
Let's stick on the Joaquin Niemann question here for a moment, Shane. He is clearly the best player on Live right now. Just won his fifth tournament of the weekend. Another no-show at the Masters this year. Is it detrimental to Live that he only performs well in shallow fields, that when he goes into deeper waters, the results aren't there?
Yeah, I mean, look, I don't think there's a lot of people out there that are still obsessed with analyzing whether, oh, can the Live guys compete at majors? Can they do this? Can they do that? So, you know, look, if he finishes 40th or whatever he did at the Masters, I don't think there's, you know, if he won, we would, of course, see the Live bots say, oh, look how good Live is. But the fact that he didn't win or finish in the top 10, I don't think anybody's gloating or anything like that. I think we all know that Live players can win majors, but the guys who can win are, you know, the ones we expect, DeChambeau, Kepka. Those are the guys who have done it and who have proven that John Rahm could surely go and do it. It's different. I won't say it's good or bad for Liv, but I will say it's different winning on Liv, which Niemann obviously does. And of course, he's a tremendously skilled golfer, but he has not shown that he has the medal to go in and compete in the majors yet. I mean, for how good the guy is and his ranking in the world ranking, to have zero top tens, that's glaring. That is glaring at this point on his resume. And that transcends Liv PGA Tour. That is a glaring absence, and he has something to prove.
Rex, I started this segment talking about fashion. We just talked to Jeff Ogilvie, who said he knows young people, kids who come up to him and his fellow captains and say, I want to play for that shield one day. Over the last couple of decades, has the introduction of this shield by Ernie Els in 2018 ahead of 2019 been maybe one of the greatest things this international team has done in terms of fostering unity?
Whew, that was close. I thought you were going to ask me about fashion for a minute, and I would be the last person that would need to talk about that. I'll go back to Ernie Els's creation of that shield, and it was brilliant. I think that's the word that Jeff Ogilvie used. And the reason I would say that is prior to that, I remember having vivid conversations with some international players about the idea they were tired of playing in the event. They were tired of losing. They were tired of getting their faces kicked in every 2 years. It wasn't good for their morale. It wasn't good for their game. It certainly wasn't good for their brand. That has changed, and I would give full credit to what Ernie Els has created. Somehow he has brought that international team together. I was standing next to those team rooms last year, especially on Friday night. That party coming from the international team was a real party. They were enjoying themselves. They finally had something to stand behind. I don't know, and I like the idea that Jeff Ogilvie talked about. That looks like so much fun. I want to do that, meaning winning on Sunday night. I don't know how close they are, but certainly they seem to be moving in the right direction.
Yeah, great perspective from two guys with fresh haircuts, high and tight. Rex and Shane, thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
Well, when Golf Today returns, we're going to head out to this week's tour stop in McKinney, Texas, get some player reaction to today's news about the President's Cup captains.
Golf Central Update, brought to you by Callaway Golf.
We're back on Golf Today. The PGA Tour returns to Texas and TPC Craig Ranch, where players compete in the tournament named after Byron Nelson, all-time Texas golf legend and World Golf Hall of Famer. Coverage of the CJ Byron Nelson begins Thursday on Golf Channel. Now, Taylor Pendrith, International President's Cupper, is this week's defending champ. He seeks to become the fifth back-to-back champ of this event. Last year, he became the first player to win the CJ Cup, Byron Nelson, in his tournament debut since Aaron Wise back in 2018. Fun fact, he was the first player from Canada to win the CJ Cup, Byron Nelson. Now, Jordan Cornette has made his way to McKinney, Texas, and joins us now. Jordan, news of the day, Brant Snedeker and Jeff Ogilvie have been named captains for the President's Cup in 2026. What's the reaction been like on the ground?
Well, Damon, it's kind of been a gloomy day here at TPC Craig Ranch for the most part. The sun just kind of showing its face for the first time since we've arrived here on the grounds. But it's been all sunshine and rainbows talking about the newly elected captains for the President's Cup, starting on the American side. Had a chance to catch up with the guy perfectly suited to talk about Brant Snedeker's election, and that being Zach Johnson. He's been an assistant captain for this President's Cup, and obviously he had captained the Ryder Cup team in 2023. So catching up with Zach Johnson, a guy perfectly suited to speak on this. And let me tell you, Zach Johnson, very high on Brant Snedeker's election.
Brant is Brant's amazing. Obviously, his resume speaks for itself. I mean, he's a champion through and through, and I would say a journeyman. I mean, you know, he's going to be perfect in that role. You got to have somebody that that's gritty, that loves to fight, that can get through difficult situations. You know, and furthermore, he's a leader already, the way I see it, because a lot of guys, younger guys, are talking to him about, you know, how to navigate this crazy life. So Sneds is perfect. He's got experience. He loves America. Mandy will be terrific. I mean, it's a tandem, you know, your husband, wife kind of duo there. But Sneds is very logical. And you know, I mean, honestly, if I'm going to get into it, given what he's got to go through physically, I mean, I don't know the half of it, but I know at least the tip of the iceberg. I mean, I think that should resonate. I mean, he's still out here and he's still fighting and working, and in events like that, that's all you have. You gotta just roll your sleeves up and fight. And I think that's he's going to be a great leader for Team USA.
Guys, let me just tell you, in talking with Zach, he could have talked for about another 30 minutes about Brant. So high on this. Matter of fact, he talked to us for about another 15 minutes about it. Didn't have time in the show. I know Damon and Eamon need their airtime, so he couldn't have showed all of it. But very high, clearly, from just that little bit of sound. But again, talked for several minutes afterwards about just how much he thinks Brant is the guy. As for the international group, you know, 15 tries, well-documented in this President's Cup, only one win and one tie. Desperately looking to get back on track. And in talking with Tom Kim, he firmly believes Jeff Ogilvie, for the continuity, the charisma, and everything he brings, he's the guy to get them their second victory in what's been a lopsided matchup.
I think it's just going to be great for our team. You know, he's, from what I've experienced, you know, Jeff definitely has that charismatic role as a leader. And I think being a player and, you know, being a part of the captain room, like, with the experience that he has, I really do believe it's going to be really good for our team. And, you know, for me personally, being a part of the two, it's comfortable knowing that I have a chance to play for a guy who's been around and who's helped me personally as well, like in the room, just talking about a few things. So I know he's definitely, you know, he has a great personality for it, and hopefully he can lead us to maybe hopefully a cup.
You kind of get a little bit of that fire from Tom. Everybody recalls his last two President Cups. He's been an electric performer, really igniting a fire in his group to try and get them back to winning in this thing. As for the week right now, look, as a big guy, I'm very happy. It's not too humid, not too hot right now, but we will be battling some weather throughout the week, possibly some rain, the worst of it coming tomorrow, which is good, only affecting most likely the Pro-Am. Jordan Spieth being in this field, Scottie Scheffler, world's number one, being in this field, expects to bring some big crowds. And the other thing I do want to mention, the Zurich Classic champion, fresh off his first PGA victory, Ben Griffin here, not Andrew Novak, his teammate, but Ben here, all smiles, talk to him, still riding the wave of that first PGA victory and rocking some very loud yellow shorts, which I got to say, I'm kind of here for it. Look, Eamon is my fashion guru, but even Eamon, I think, would co-sign those shorts from Ben Griffin.
But Ben's actually going to join us in the show a little bit later. Maybe we'll get him to show some leg out there as well. Now, that's enough of you, Jordan. We want our airtime back. Always good catching up with you.